Wasn't a good celebration for Matariki last Sunday?
It was a fantastic celebration for Matariki, and what a great weekend I think the whole community had. As you know, at Puihakana on Friday, they had a special Matariki remembrance and celebration there that kicked off the weekend, and of course it culminated into the fantastic community event that we had at the bottom of Bow Street outside of the library. And I just want to really congratulate the organisers from Raglan Naturally, Gabriel Parson, Denise Reynolds, and of course Jasmine Hunter, as well from WEC with Anna Cunningham, and others behind the scenes who really coordinated that community celebration for Matariki. And I think it was a prime example of what people from across the Motu really embraced the new holiday of Matariki. Mm. And we saw that with Pō Temara and others who had really spearheaded our fantastic holiday. That's quite significant for Aotearoa. So a big mihi to everyone in the community who participated in the celebrations for Matariki, and also remembering those who have passed in the last year. So it was a fabulous event on Sunday evening. Mm. Aaron, and I saw you guys outside the Yacht Club,
broadcasting,
you know,
live.
Streaming, if that's how you call it, which was fabulous as well. And just the performances from our young people within our community, and to Reiki for being our MC, and of course acknowledging Mātua Paddy and also Mātua Sean and Fire Lucy for holding that space when they did the karaki and the opening for our celebrations.
Yeah, and something that Jasmine, as you said, one of the organisers said to me earlier in the week, was that people were just like helping out, and different to other things she's organised. You know, people just started helping putting the lights up in the trees, and then at the end they were there to take them down again.
Yeah, and I saw Mātua Sean and Hene Moa Rossi this morning at school, and they both commented on how fabulous it was, but also how it wasn't just about you came to be entertained and bring out the dancing girls. It was actually so much more than that. It was the opportunity to sit down and talk to other people that you mightn't have seen for a while. And I was on the muscle fritter stall, which was lovely because I got to speak to a lot of different people as they were coming up and waiting for their kai, and many people that I hadn't seen for a fair while. So it was a lovely opportunity to reconnect. And I think that, more importantly, outside of the entertainment and the lights and things like that, was the underlying feeling of that evening on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd been talking about here on the show about the sort of stresses in the community, and I thought it was, looking back, just a good chance for the community to come together and just feel good about itself.
That's exactly right, and feel good about each other and be together and say hello or have a hug, share a mussel fritter or a sausage. So it was a really fantastic event. So well done to the organisers.
And one takeaway I'm saying to the community groups is come along and next time and have a stall for food, because the queues for all the food stalls were really long.
Yeah.
And they were like, you guys were under the gun.
We were under the gun. I know everyone was under the pump.
Under the pump, was that the right phrase?
Yeah, under the pump, you know, doing the mussel fritters or a sausage or a stew or whatever it might have been that they were doing. But wasn't that fantastic as well that we had people in the community from the Lions and Raglan Area School pulling together to fundraise for whichever activity they were supporting, whether it was Wayne and Christine's trot, their bid to go over to Europe for the Waka Ama internationals, and then of course for some students up at Raglan Area School. So it was just a fabulous
way
of coming together as a community.
Speaking of the school, because of course you're the chair of the Board of Trustees, you just said to me that some new classrooms were blessed this morning.
We did. We blessed the new classrooms in E Block, and I hadn't been in there. And no doubt people would have seen those classrooms being moved on the back of trucks because they were prefabricated outside of Whaingaroa and brought in. And obviously all of the other internal work was done on site. We've also got our new asphalted courts that down in the junior area that used to be razor-cutting stones, a terrible surface, and so now that's being beautifully asphalted. So it was a real honour to be there this morning to go to the blessing and follow in the footsteps of Matua Paddy and Matua Sean. To bless those new buildings with the teaching staff who will be teaching out of those spaces. And it was just beautiful. I mean, couldn't ask for a better outlook. I'm sure the kids probably won't even bat two eyelids looking out over to the harbour, but just the stunning views and just the reminder of the beautiful place that we are fortunate to call home and that learning environment. The classrooms are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to council stuff. The news came out this week that we will be having a two-year trial of an internal bus in Raglan. I've got the time right?
That's right, and that came about because we had from the long-term plan funds allocated for services, and so we met in council at our infrastructure hui at the beginning of this week, or was it last week? The days have all blurred. To agree to use that pot of money that has already been allocated to bus services within our communities, and Raglan is one of them, for a bus service. And our staff met with, one of our staff members met with Gabrielle Parson, the chair of the community board, Chris Rayner from the community board, and Dennis Amor earlier this week to start talking about what would engagement out in the community be for the bus service and what that might look like. So that's really exciting. So a shuttle service that will service the township but also go out to the beaches as well and out to Whale Bay. So hopefully doing an hour loop. So theoretically you can go out to the beach and spend an hour or two and be able to hop back on a bus. So what that looks like, where the pickup and drop-off points are, is something that we'll need to work on. But isn't that exciting? We've been talking about a shuttle service for a long time, so and now that we've got that.
When you say a shuttle, you mean like a van or a full bus? Or
I believe a 12-seater, but Gabriel, it'll probably be best to talk to Gabriel or Chris with regard to that. I wasn't at the meeting that they had earlier this week, so getting those details about the size of that. But from the discussions that we had in council, in infrastructure, it was looking at a 12-seater bus initially. But, you know, that's looking at Matangi, Tamahere, Raglan and other communities across our district as well.
Or trialling
so
that.
The opportunity, I think this is probably a first for council, that we're actually trialling something with money that we've already allocated. So, so the trial may work, the trial may not work. So as a community, we really have to think about what that service looks like, and we need to use it, because as the saying goes, if we don't use it, we'll lose it.
So will the community have some input into the route, or is the route, or how's the route going to be planned, I suppose, is the proper question.
My understanding is that with the support of the community board, we'll be asking the community what that would look like. But again, you'd need to speak to Gabriel or to Chris quite simply, because they were at that hui as well. Okay. So it'll be designed, hopefully, for us as a community, by the community.
And do you know when they hope to have it started?
No.
We'd like to have it started for summer, I guess.
Yeah, definitely before the summer. You know, that would be the ultimate in prep for when our visitors come and, you know, meeting our desire to get as many cars off the road and people utilising public transport more. So this is a fantastic opportunity for us as a community to work that out, what that will look like. And then once we've got that in place, then we'll be able to really start advertising, promoting it, and getting people to use that as well.
Yeah. So this was decisions made at council this week. Another one, you were telling me about something to do with some funding for walkways.
That's right. So earlier on this year, there was an opportunity to apply to the Tourism Infrastructure Fund. And, you know, we've been successful in that before, and that's how we got the toilets down at Ngarinui. And other, you know, bins and things like that as well. So the opportunity came up to actually apply to the Tourism Infrastructure Fund, and the community board and both the Raglan Business Chamber put in letters of support of that. And so we were notified earlier this week that we were successful in getting just under $1 million from the Tourism Infrastructure Fund to continue the cycle walkway that has started that we see at Papahua. That nice wide footpath.
Yeah.
Part of that almost $1 million will go into the upgrading from the Raglan West Dairy through to Rocket, and it will include the current footpath with the names of people who put in money for a footpath to go out toward Ngarinui to widen that. And of course, we'll be keeping that current footpath with the names of the families there, but we'll be widening that. We'll also be addressing drainage. It will also be going into upgrading the footpath on Marine Parade as well, between the Air Force Bridge and Wainui Road. And then that part of the footpath will then connect onto the footpath that's across the road going up to the Raglan West Dairy. And there will also be other things put in place to help with the crossing over Wainui Road to the current footpath that will take you over to the one-lane car bridge. So that's really exciting. Obviously, Council also had to have funds to equal what the Tourism Infrastructure Fund has, and so that was already allocated in a budget. So that's a fantastic win for our community to continue you know, that connectivity through to Wainui Reserve. So that's fantastic. So really good news for us that we've got that.
Something that hasn't been so good is the land being eaten away over at Papahua, just where you cross the walk bridge and turn to the left. And it looks more and more, every time I look at it, I feel more alarmed.
Oh, and so too are the Hapu representatives, yeah. So too are we. So we are looking at, when I say that, we council around what we can do. In that area, there was going to be planting at Rokikore, which is the headland, the sand spit, the headland around by the skate park and the pump track.
Yeah.
So there was going to be planting there. So looking at moving that planting over to where nearer to the Urupa by the boat ramp as well. And then obviously looking at the long-term plan, what does that look like? So there's lots of levels to that, you know, with that coastal, yeah, and the coastal erosion and what we might need to put in place. So it is, it's a worry, and it's not too distant from the toilets that are by the dumping station next to the soccer fields.
Yeah, that's the bit that's the most worrying. You can see that the water must have come in pretty close to the road there, or at least probably lapping around car wheels.
Oh, and not only that, the water table underneath as well, that the stuff that we don't see. We see what we see with our naked eye, obviously, but what's happening underneath as well. So
the water table is never far away. Like I used to, when I was doing junior soccer, run a summer soccer thing, and I remember going out, I got a flag and I put it, I knew where the little pipe hole was. And this is in like February or something, the start of the, and I got the flag and put it in the hole and water splat out of me.
Yeah.
And also it smelled really bad and got on me. But anyway,
that's another story.
The fact that it was the middle of summer and still the water was there, because the water table is like 20 centimetres at most.
Yeah.
Below the surface at high tide.
And those are things that we need to be really mindful of. So certainly at our Raglan Holiday Park Papahua Camp Board meeting that we had earlier this month, it was, well, actually, now that's July the 1st, so happy July the 1st, everyone. but last month, we had our board hui last week, actually, again, that came up. And, you know, from some of the board members, well, what does, and I've said this before, I think in my last two interviews that I've had with you, Aaron, around what does it look like when we have to move, you know, whether it's the camp or whatever that might be. So, and that's a reality when we look at what's happening in that area. So,
what about the use of a groin? Because we've talked about how the old bridge effectively had a groin.
Well, that's something that we have to look at, and particularly for the LTP. because we'd have to. And I think that's something that we seriously have to look at, because it seems to be much more obvious coastal erosion since that groin part of the old bridge had been taken away.
Yeah, I think if we got some photos and had a look, we'd be even more alarmed. It feels like it needs to happen like really fast, but funding is going to be the thing by the sounds of it. You're talking about the long-term plan.
Yeah, so looking at the long-term plan, that will be in 2024. So, but, you know, those are things that we need to start looking at and putting in place what that will look like, because it's very real. And then even if you look at closer to where the treatment ponds are on Wainui Road, where we've just put in the new culvert.
Yeah.
So that's still lower. We are waiting for the new resource consent for that area. That's why the work has stopped on the footpath there. The resource consenting process in the coastal reserve has changed, so we need to tweak that. So once we start the work again on that part of the footpath, obviously we will be building up that area, because we noticed just after that had been installed, that severe weather came in with the high tides and high winds.
That storm we had a few weeks ago.
Storm surge that we had. So certainly it's a very real living landscape that we are watching change. And I even saw where I live out at Wainamu, out at the harbour mouth, storm surge, what impact that it had on the coast around at Wainamu and then out to the beach itself past the harbour mouth. The surge took away some of the plantings and some of the bank.
Yeah, it was quite pretty significant. It was ruthless, wasn't it?
And then it even undermined where the outfall pipe was, so we had to re-establish the framework around the outfall pipe as well, because that had come loose.
I interviewed the guys from Ecoast last year around the time that the surf tower had to come down, and they said historically the sand comes and goes, so one day it will come back, but we don't know how far it'll go and how long we have to wait.
Even if you haven't been down to the beach for a week, it's quite significant, the changes. You know, over the summer you saw all of the rocks out, and this this landscape that was being unveiled daily as the tides were really low, to, you know, going down, and I hadn't been down for a week or so, to it being covered again, so you're in a completely different landscape again, although it is familiar. But along the banks, there's a lot of erosion.
Yeah, I saw the photo from the Coast Care's work was just eradicated.
Yeah, so that's that changing, restless landscape, as I've said before.
I did notice if you go across the walk bridge and you look to the right, there's actually a concrete wall that was built. It's just like a foot high. I don't know when it was built, a long time before I arrived, and they must have been built to retain the sand.
I don't know. I haven't noticed it, actually.
Yeah, and you won't notice it because there's more sand after it that's in no danger of going away.
Yeah.
So there must have been a time in the past when the community felt like they were losing that area, so they built that wall, and then for some reason sand has come back. It's very unpredictable.
It's like the ebb and flow of the tide. The sand gets washed away, and then it gets brought back.
It comes, it goes, and we put up with it. The wharf. We've heard that there's been negotiations about the contract for the extent of the works. Has that been completed?
They've just awarded the contract.
Yeah.
So that will come out, and then we'll be starting on the works. What that looks like, I'm not sure, because the contract's just been awarded. So that's exciting. So looking forward to action and work actually happening at the wharf.
Yeah, all right. So they haven't given us any dates, like the contractors haven't given you any dates?
No, not yet.
Okay. Security issues, everyone's been talking about that. After the one of our DJs had their car broken into on Sunday night because they couldn't park outside the station because it was busy, parked around the corner, and then...
Oh, from the library?
It was
on Weneta Street, wasn't it, outside the library, is that right?
Possibly,
yes,
I'm not sure. It was just because he couldn't observe his own car. And then there was another one about someone's car being stolen from their house on Facebook the next day. And we feel like we've got a run of thefts, but you've been talking to the police.
the area commander.
And what's he been saying?
That Raglan isn't on their top five communities for crime.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, but obviously it's there's that desire from the community to feel safe, because when we see things like that, particularly on social media, it amplifies that feeling of being vulnerable. You know, and I completely understand that. So we're coordinating a discussion with key organisations and people from within the community, including the police and council, the community board, Raglan Naturally, Kaumatua, around what does safety look like and how can we support the organisations that already exist. For example, and I've said this before, around the community patrol and also supporting, reigniting neighbourhood support within the community to increase the eyes out and also support those initiatives so we've got more capacity. And that ultimately will support the work of the police in networking our security cameras to have more visibility on safety in the community. So that will be coming up.
So, all right, so you guys are going to get together and
that's right.
Nut something out, I guess, is the
and then work
there.
Out a plan of how do we support neighbourhood support, how do we increase the capacity for the community patrol, because I know that everyone's really busy, so do we have some people or a capacity to help advertise regularly, signing up to that, all of those sorts of things. And as you know, Narina Hurst is going to tendered her resignation for coordinating the community patrol.
Yes.
So looking for someone to fill those big shoes.
I think there is someone she's going to train up, she said to me.
Oh, fantastic. That's awesome. But if there's anyone out there who has a desire to be part of the community patrol, then I highly encourage you to contact Narina or one of the other people from the community patrol.
Yeah, that's definitely a solution. They're already an organisation that already exists.
And they've got a lovely new car
step right
and
in.
A great team.
Warm car for those nighttime
missions. Those nighttime drive-arounds.
Hey, we've got elections coming up in October. Nominations open on the 15th of July, I think I just read this morning.
That's right, and open for a month. And there, if you go onto the Waikato District Council website, there have already been candidate evenings. They kicked it off on Monday at Hopu Hopu, actually. So
there isn't one. I noticed there wasn't one out here. I thought maybe you could tell us what – just from your personal perspective, what you think people need to know if they're thinking about a nomination to become a community board member
or the councillor.
Or a council or mayor even?
Yeah, that what I really encourage people to do is go on to, if you can, attend one of the candidate information evenings, because you get a perspective from what the organisation does. And then you can ask questions of Dale Ofenskovsky, from Election Services about how to fill in your nomination forms properly. And then we have a perspective from Jan Sedgwick, who is the current councillor for Te Kauwhata. And so she gives a perspective because she's not re-standing. I would really encourage people to also take some time to read through some of the community board agendas, familiarise yourself with the current projects that the community board are involved in, ask questions of current board members as well, what are their highlights, what are their lowlights, and really encourage people to also read council agendas. Because that's a significant amount of work, is just the reading of the council agendas. It's not just the council committee agendas, it's the infrastructure, the policy and regulatory, there's the funding. So it's quite a diverse range of things that if you get elected that you'll be involved in and that you might think, I'm going to stand on a platform of lowering rates or whatever it might be, but to try and get your head around the business of being a councillor or working in council. And I highly encourage people to go into Local Government New Zealand, onto their website as well, LGNZ. They have a lot of information there, and all the current policies or things that are changing, there's a lot of information on there. And if you are Māori, also for Local Government New Zealand, there's Te Maruata, which is the Māori elected branch of Local Government New Zealand. There's a lot of great information on there as well. And if you wanted to, you could always reach out to speak to one of the board members of that Rōpū as well. But there's a lot of information that you can access. Get familiar with Three Waters. Get familiar with the topical information that is out on the table from central government. Look at what is topical for Waikato District Council. If you're thinking about standing for regional council, really look at it. What does regional council do? What are the things that priorities for regional council? What does transport look like? So do your homework, so then when you do get elected, you're not going in there completely out of your depth. But it is really important to take some time to do your research and to ask questions. And I highly recommend going onto the Waikato District Council website and look at the candidate information. Also go into other council websites as well and look at how they are promoting their candidate information as well.
Yeah.
Have a look at some of the local politicians or community boards across the country and what they're doing. I actually have to say, Aaron, that the Raglan Community Board is a really proactive community board. They're involved, they are hardworking. And from my observations from across our district, they're probably the most highly engaged community board or community committee, actually, within Waikato District.
Yeah, I'd pick that up as
well. Very successful as well.
Yeah,
in terms of, we wouldn't be able to get things like the tourism infrastructure funding applications in or being successful without that ability for the board to respond quickly. And that's the same with the Wharf Project, Places for People, involved in even the representation review and the change of the Raglan Community Board area. So really highly engaged community board. So I suggest speaking to one of the community board representatives and also understanding what the new ward boundaries are, because obviously that's going to be significant, and understanding also the changes that will be happening within council as well with the Māori ward implementation, what that looks like, and then just all the expectations around being a councillor or a community board member. But really encourage you, if you are thinking about standing, do your research. Also go on to Tauri Kura. Particularly if you are Māori and you're thinking of standing for whatever council it might be.
So this is the organisation that was in town two weeks ago.
Sundays ago.
How did that go?
And we didn't have a huge turnout, but as Kawe said, who's one of the facilitators, that it's not about the numbers, it's about the corridor, that we have the richness in there, and that is really true. I presented at O Mairopa on Tuesday evening, and there was a couple who had travelled all the way from Whakatāne, actually, because she was thinking of standing for regional council, and that they had been watching Tauri Kura and the program that they've been put on, because it's been live streamed through Tainui, and that the live streaming has been really successful in reaching out to many. So we may not have many people physically in the room, but the live streams have been, in that for Totikura have been really successful.
Well, you don't necessarily need a lot of people. You just need a couple of people who suddenly get engaged, and that's quite significant.
And on Tuesday, what we had at Omaero was the perspective of what it is to be a counsellor. And I actually spoke about the relationships, because relationships are really important in a role. As an elected member, your relationships with staff, your relationships with your fellow councillors, and recognising each other's strengths and weaknesses. And the point that I made about being elected is that you are put into a space with people that you probably normally wouldn't work with.
Yes.
So you have to be able to develop relationships with people that you might, in normal circumstances, you probably wouldn't even cross paths with.
Or maybe let's be blunt about it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But you have to look at how you work together, and that there's a whole spectrum of knowledge from councillors who have been in council for a while. So they come with a lot of knowledge from decisions that have been made previously, understanding of the business of council, to new term councillors as well, that bring in a freshness and an energy and a zest and passion.
Yeah.
So it's important. So I focused on the importance of building relationships with councillors, staff, community boards, community committees, the boards that you sit on in your designated or delegated roles. And then, of course, your relationships with community.
Now, you were talking before about some candidate evenings. They've actually happened, but one of them was live-streamed, and I've just checked. The last one was yesterday, I think. They've put the live-stream one on YouTube. So if people want their candidate information evening video, it's there on the Waikato
District
Council.
It's on the Waikato District Council YouTube channel, so you can do that. So I highly recommend you doing that.
And I just wanted to mention, while you're here, that Rick Thorpe leaving Extreme Waste, and they're having
a farewell
this evening for him, for Matua Rick, in his 24 years of effort. Yeah.
Of service to the community,
yeah.
Actually. You know, from the very start of Extreme Zero Waste to where it is today, you know, and today being the 1st of July, when we've now got our food waste through.
Oh, yes, of course, we're onto the new round, the new funded section.
Yeah, food waste collection, so that's pretty major. So, yeah, that's a change of guard, isn't it, you know,
yeah.
And saying farewell to Matua Rick, who's been a stalwart for our community, you know, over the years.
Yeah,
so that should be a good celebration and farewell for him this evening.
And we'll get him in for an interview maybe next week as well. Just
I think that would be great.
Have a reminisce.
A reminisce over the last 24 years.
Quarter of a century. That'll freak him out if I use that phrase.
Quarter of a century, God.
Yeah.
How time flies, eh?
So, Lisa, thanks for coming in. The next community board meeting is still a few weeks away, is it?
It is still a few weeks away.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm heading off to the Information Hub. And if anyone, that was
downtown.
The old eyesight.
Yep.
So if anyone is thinking of doing some community service, obviously there is the community patrol that you can put your hand up for, neighbourhood support, and also the Information Hub, if you fancied welcoming visitors and locals alike. We are always looking for new and passionate ambassadors to represent our community.
Okay, thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Kia ora.